South by Southwest Sydney is back. That's kicking off October 13th. And enriching the festival's seven-day lineup is a panel taking place on Tuesday, October 14th, called Second Life Remixing Migrant Culture, casting a light on how diverse cultural backgrounds bring new perspectives to the expression of fashion and food. Giving us his take on this is one of the many, many panelists appearing at Second Life Remixing Migrant Culture, the one, the only, Alex Kelly. Hey, Alex, how are you going?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us here today to establish your credentials as an expert.
Uh-huh.
In your day-to-day life, you're co-founder and creative director of Barber's Place.
I wish it was Barber's Palace, but yes, Barber's Place. Yeah.
It's too small to be a palace at this stage. That's a delightful little eatery in Marrickville.
Correct.
Yeah. Tell us more about Barber's Place.
So co-founder and, yeah, my role that I bestowed upon myself, creative director.
as co-founder, you're allowed to do that.
Could have been anything. Co-founder with my best friend JP, who I've known for close to 20 years now. It's undergone many iterations where what you currently see it as, what currently people know it as, is, yeah, a wonderful eatery in a warehouse in Marrickville. We believe, and we continue to do so, that we're exploring migrant culture as it relates to suburbs and migration through suburbs there.
Cool. And how does that sort of manifest itself as part of what you're doing, as part of the menu there at Barber's Place and everything else?
Yeah, it manifests itself firstly in confusion, and still now in a kind of still now in a kind of joyful confusion or a confident confusion.
Yeah.
What that means is that we're not trying to specifically represent any kind of stable understanding of what a culture or a nation or identity is. And rather, we want to kind of explore the grayness, explore the mixedness, explore all those things. So what that means is, it might be, my background might be Macedonian, JP's might be Lebanese, but you're not going to find a kind of straightforward representation of that as you would come to know it in the kind of popular sphere of dining out.
Yeah, it's not Macedonian-Lebanese fusion, it's all sorts of other stuff.
No, it's not fusion, and it's not straightforward of if Macedonians listening right now, if they are, they'll be like, why don't they do cevapi? It doesn't have those kind of straightforward things. Yeah.
You might do cevapi.
Well, we have I don't want to anger too many people, but we have.
Came to the wrong place. How did your experiences growing up influence your take on cuisine?
For me personally, I'll speak to myself, JP's not here. Very, very influential, my mixedness. My mother's Macedonian, my dad's of Irish descent. Growing up in Bankstown, living across the road from my bubba, which is grandmother in Macedonian, incredibly influential, just the ways in which culture mixes and dances. So the Macedonian traditions and communities mixing with Australian traditions or contemporary Western traditions, playing Dungeons and Dragons with my uncle whilst bubba gave us Macedonian food.
That's really cool.
Yeah, these kinds of things I think are very influential and for me.
Does that mean we can get some D&D happening at Barber's Place?
I would honestly adore that. That would be incredible.
It's going to make sure the D&D players get the big table there at Barber's Place when that's happening. That's really cool, all these influences there. I mean, how important are food influences in sort of helping cultures mix and people's acceptance of other cultures?
Yeah, I mean... It has been historically and popularly understood to be incredibly important and used as a talking point by leaders, policies, all these types of things. I think it's an amazing entry point and a starting point to the conversation. I think I might give a little bit of a, maybe not an easy answer here, but I think there's more work to be done and it shouldn't be the beginning and end point. But it is an amazing way to let people know that cultures express themselves differently and that there's stories to be told in many different ways.
Delicious diplomacy.
I mean, for Australia's history, especially as it relates to Eastern European and European migrants, through the football communities and through football stadiums and Australians eating langos at St. George Stadium.
Yeah.
Hungarian deep fried bread with cheese and sour cream, for those that don't know. But this kind of entry point, but I think what I am interested in and what we should all know is that that's not the end, it's the start.
Indeed. And how has your experiences, has it ever been a situation where because of the cultural experiences you've had, you've been able to come up with a new take on an old dish?
Yes. Oh,
and please know I'm very hungry at the moment. So
on the spot here, new take on an old dish. Okay, I'll just go recent bias. Our head chef, Michael, who's an incredible chef, did a kind of contemporary take on sarma. Sarma is a very common dish amongst the Balkans, which is fermented cabbage, pork mince, and usually some pork hock wrapped in that. What he kind of did was separate that, ferment the cabbage separately for many weeks, and do a kind of pork skewer with a kind of miso sweet glaze. So it was a bit of a cultural kind of mix up there. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But our signature dish, the tarama on toast, isn't necessarily a remix, maybe an adaptation, a different way to use tarama salata, which is whipped cod roe, which a lot of people would know as that pink dip.
Yeah.
That's famous within the Greek and Mediterranean circles. We put that on Japanese milk bread.
Oh, wow.
Shokupan. And some sesame praline on top of that, which not necessarily a new way of doing tarama, but another way of expressing it.
It's just, and I guess when you're doing stuff like that, the possibilities must be limitless.
Yes, and I think that can be quite anxiety-inducing for our team. and so at the start, we changed a lot more, but now I guess we're kind of, we're older now. I'm 30 now. We need consistency in the kitchen to run efficiently, so we don't change as much as we do, but we pick our moments.
And now you've got a bit of experience doing public speaking in anticipation of having a chat at Second Life, remixing migrant culture, happening as South by Southwest Sydney. Mm-hmm. This is happening next Tuesday, October 14th. This is quite the panel to be on there.
Yes.
Sort of a whole bunch of great panelists exploring how our migrant heritage is shaping food, fashion and art in Australia, and how showcasing these cultures and stories sparks creative and community connections.
Yeah, well said. I have nothing else to add to that. No, my fellow panelists, Amy and Ramesh, and then a moderated and I guess panelists as well, Oz. Incredible company, and people in their fields of media, art and fashion, really kind of flying the flag for different ways in which we can present products, we can present stories, by tapping into our cultural heritage backgrounds and our mixedness here in the haven of multiculturalism known as Australia.
Yeah, and as soon as you've finished doing that, you'll be back to work there at Barber's Place doing your thing.
Yes. We've got a couple of other things coming up as well. So I'm kind of always busy. But very excited for that next week, and it's very much a live topic.
So, yes.
Yeah, we haven't decided exactly what we're going to be talking about, but I know it's going to be good.
I know the exact same thing you're talking about. Yep. I still haven't decided what I'm going to be talking about on my radio show now. Alex Kelly from Barber's Place, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on 2SER Breakfast. Can't wait to catch you next week at South by Southwest Sydney as part of Second Life, remixing migrant culture. Appreciate your time here this morning on the radio.
Thank you so much.